Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
Describing Jesus, and He, my friend, is indescribable. He's indescribable. He's the greatest gift this world has ever known. He's indescribable. And I today love the Christmas story, and I pray that you never, ever get tired of hearing it. In Luke chapter 2, verse 1, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round to them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them." Let's pray. Father, we are a grateful people. We're a grateful church today that seeks first you and your righteousness. I thank you, I thank you, I thank you that you sent Jesus for us to have a relationship with you. God, I ask that from this point forward, Lord, I just pray that our lives would resemble the grateful hearts that we have because of that. Lord, we give you praise this morning and ask that your word, and as we talk about you, that someone in this place, maybe all of us, would just catch a glimpse of how awesome, how great, and how indescribable you are. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In verse 14 in Luke chapter 2, in the NLT, it says, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and this is the angels, peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." Now, I like the way it says that, because I want you to know this morning, peace is available for us. As I watched that video this morning, there are so many things that is said in that by that preacher. I just love that he wrote all. That's the best description I've ever had, and it's still indescribable. It still doesn't do justice to who God is. See, peace is available because he is the one who brings peace. It's with whom have accepted him. I love that. Glory to God in highest heaven and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased. Do you see a lack of peace going on here on this earth? What I can tell you is that tells me right here that God's not pleased with some of what's going on. peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. Do you realize that you, because God can be pleased with you, can have peace in your home? But Pastor, you don't know what's going on in my home. Then put God where he needs to be. And peace comes, or the scripture is a liar. See, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. I just love that verse, and that just kept sticking out to me this morning, because today, as we're describing the best of our human ability, how wonderful Jesus is, he provides peace for us. Now, we are three-part beings, and a lot of times we go, well, of course, I'm at peace with where I'm going. I know I'm going to heaven. We are three-part beings, and he provides peace in your physical being, he provides peace in your mental being, and he provides peace in your spiritual being. All three of those make up who you are, and he brings peace in all of those areas. Jesus is the peace bringer because he is peace. Let me just tell you, Jesus came as a gift, and as Adam was saying earlier, if God entrusted us with Jesus, then we need to know who he is, because as he came, was entrusted into us, and he's in our lives should resemble him. What does that mean? Jesus came. You read all through scripture. Read all of John. John talks about love. God is love. Jesus came. He's described as love. Do you know that we can have love because Jesus came into our heart and life? We can have peace. We can have joy in the midst of frustration in this life. We've got to pay attention to what the scripture said. I love verse 20 here also. When the shepherds returned, what were they doing? They were glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. That's how we should be after we've encountered Jesus. We should be glorifying and praising God for having encountered him in our life. And if we truly would see him as indescribable, I think the Christian lives would be attractive to the world. From the beginning, when they were told about the birth, the people who wanted to please God were attracted to Jesus, right? The people who didn't want to serve God were trying to kill him. Does your life resemble an attraction to the Lord, or are we being attracted continually to things that aren't of God? If he's indescribable, I love the way the preacher said that, but in 2 Corinthians 9:15, short verse, eight words here, but listen to what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Another translation says, thanks be to God, our thanks are too wonderful for words. Well, Pastor, what are you doing? I'm doing a horrible job today. I can't tell you how awesome he is. There is not words to explain how wonderful Jesus is. I mean, what kind of gift would we have to receive to be called indescribable? How many are looking forward to that for your Christmas gift under the tree? I can't put into words the sweater I'm getting. I just can't put into words. There is nothing physically that you're going to get that's indescribable, that's too wonderful for words. No, you can pretty much just give words to it. But this is a diamond ring, and it's just, I mean, it sparkles. It's got a rating to it. It's got a size, a carat size to it. And I can describe specifically what that is in words. See, there's not a gift you're going to get that's indescribable. And you've already received Jesus this morning, and we've got to get to a place where we understand that he is indescribable. So you can talk and talk and talk, and until someone experiences him in their own life, you can't talk enough about him. You can't give a gift that is going to compare to the gift that God gave in Jesus. I don't know, I probably overthink things sometimes, but a gift that you would call indescribable would be a gift that you could look at it and say, isn't this beautiful? It's just beyond words. I've wanted this my whole life. And you just can't, maybe it's because your emotions got so overwhelmed that you just couldn't talk. But does that really make it indescribable? Another reason you might open a gift and see it, maybe it's a gift that is very emotional and they didn't know it was coming and they have waited for it their whole life. And they're just, that's just indescribable. Nope, I can still describe it. It's not an indescribable gift. Maybe it'd be a gift that you cared so little about you don't want to give it any words. I've given a lot of those to my wife. In an attempt to find something she needed. I don't know about you, but those, even though I thought they were indescribable because she just couldn't say anything, one of my favorite gifts I got her was a coat hanger, or a hanger. And it had like four bars because we didn't have enough closet space, and so each one of them folded out, and you could put a pair of jeans on each one, and by the time you were done, all four, she opened it and went, in my mind, it was a gift regardless. And then it's just kind of one of those things that I thought, it's indescribable to her. But no, it's describable because we still talk about it. Thought I'd bring it up. Many gifts leave you speechless. And I understand that. Sometimes it's because they're amazing. In my case, it's because they're not. They will seek to describe them in appealing ways. If you watch television ads, are they not the best at coming up with words that make you think you have to have that? Infomercials. They used to be on late at night. And when I was traveling, we'd get in late at night, and you'd turn the television on, and it was full of infomercials. And I always found something on there that I could buy. They had these electro things, you know, that you'd put on your belly, and it made you work out, and you didn't have to do anything. I bought it, and I just want to tell you, it is totally describable. It don't work. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul at first, part of this was writing about human gifts. The church in Corinth is taking up offerings to give to poor Christians in Jerusalem, and he commends them, for their eagerness to help. And he reminds them that those who sow sparingly will also reap sparingly, but that those who sow generously will reap generously. I think about that verse and I think, you know what? God had an understanding of seed time and harvest. And the only reason anyone plants a seed in the farming business is to reap a harvest. And I know we get caught up on, well, you ought to give with no expectation of return. However, the Bible says that those who sow generously reap generously. And the biggest writer of the New Testament said that to God's people. So we are to be givers with an expectation of return. And always, not always, is that return going to be from the area you give. It does something in the supernatural realm that then overextends into the natural realm. When you give, you are doing something that has been described in Scripture that God did. He gave beyond anything that we can comprehend or describe. But yet we give very little, and I'm not talking just money, I'm talking about whatever it is, we can be givers of self, of who we are. 2 Corinthians 9 is just really good about this. Paul shifts his attention from human gifts to God's gift of sending Jesus to earth for us. And see, he cannot find words to describe that Jesus was sent as a gift for us. And he just says, thanks be to God for, it's too wonderful for words. It's just indescribable. I mean, how do you describe Jesus? What words would you choose? How do you describe a baby born of a virgin? How do you do that? How do you describe God in the flesh walking upon earth and reaching out to the hurting masses of humanity? Isaiah said he would be called Emmanuel, God with us. How do you describe that? God with us. How do you describe that which is spirit when almost everything we see is that which is either physical or material? Now, I'm not saying we haven't experienced the supernatural, but what I'm telling you is we walk day in and day out in a world that is under a curse, and as a Christian, we're trying to get God to come in and override what is daily happening in the natural, deteriorating, continuing to go downhill. Everything is getting worse. It's not getting better until God. But when God comes in. See, the Isaiah, God with us. How do you describe that? How do, with our limited knowledge, can we get a description on an all-powerful, all-knowing, all-eternal, and indescribable gift? Words aren't adequate. I've read something about this. It's very interesting. Many of the wisest men in the world have tried to describe Jesus. And like I said, that preacher was one of the best I've ever seen written. He just kept taking things that were said about God out of Scripture. But listen to the Council of Chalcedon in 451 AD. So the greatest theological minds of the time, they all came together and they tried to describe Jesus. I want to read this. Listen carefully. See if you get this. This is deep. And this is something they wrote. And this is their description of Jesus. Perfect in Godhead and also perfect in manhood. Truly man of a reasonable, rational soul and body. Cubsubstantial, co-essential with the Father according to the manhood. In all things like unto us without sin, begotten before all ages of the Father according to the Godhead. And in these latter times for us and for our salvation, born of the Virgin Mary, the Mother of God, according to the manhood, one and the same Christ, Son, Lord, only begotten to be acknowledged in two natures, inconfusedly, unchangeably, indivisibly, inseparably, and the distinction of natures being by no means taken away by the union, but rather the property of each nature being preserved. Did you understand that? I didn't either. I read it and I read it and I read it. I had the words in front of me and I thought, okay, I've heard that word before. What does that mean? Inconfusedly, I'm lost. I just sit there and I read. That's men's attempt to describe the indescribable. And I want you to understand this because I think it's important. Even when we bring together our greatest minds and our most extensive vocabularies, we cannot adequately describe Jesus. We just can't do it. Paul said, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Why does Paul call Jesus indescribable? I think there are four reasons that he called him indescribable. And I just want to give you those real quickly this morning. Because as you're celebrating the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the indescribable gift, you need to have an understanding of why he is indescribable. Why he just, you can't understand him. But here's why he's indescribable. One of the reasons, first, is because of his nature. He's indescribable because of his nature. His nature is so beyond anything we've ever seen. He thinks different. He thinks correct all the time. So his nature is perfect. He knows when to say something to make someone be quiet. He knows when to say something to get him to talk. He knows how to, he has a nature about him and how to communicate. He gave and gave and gave and gave. And people spitting on his face and he says, Lord, forgive him. His nature is beyond anything we can get. I watch boys in a basketball game, Christian basketball game, and they're doing all they can. Not just ours, but the other team, all of them. All they can do to keep from punching somebody in the face. I don't think Jesus' nature was such that he never had a problem with, I'm going to punch you. You touch me one more time. See, he's indescribable because you and I in our nature have a hard time comprehending that his nature was different. Come on, if you're married, your nature has been challenged. You need Jesus. Don't tell your spouse that when their nature is challenged. Babe, you need Jesus. Probably not a good idea unless you're running. Number two, because of his purpose in coming to earth, he is indescribable. He is the Savior of the world. It is very difficult to explain how one person God and man, could come to this earth and fulfill that. See, none of us could do it, only Jesus. So how do you describe that? Well, I can go in and tell you that he came, and I can go back in the Old Testament and tell you all the fulfillment. And you know, even after you talk it all, there are some people that just so inquisitive, but they still go, I just don't understand, and I don't know that you ever will totally comprehend it. There comes a point where you have to say, it's indescribable. I don't understand it, but I'm gonna accept it. He's indescribable. The third reason, because of the grace by which Jesus is given, he is indescribable. You know, every gift that I give this Christmas will be given because the recipient of that gift has some claim on me. Now, I want you to think about this. As we give gifts, you give them because the person you're giving it to has some claim on you. Almost all of them. Now, you may not like that idea, but frankly, that I know it's like that. I'll buy a gift for my wife because she's my wife. Well, Pastor, that's just rude. I'll buy gifts for my children because they're my children. I'll buy gifts for my grandchildren because they're my grandchildren. We buy gifts for family members because they're family. Everybody can say, yeah, that's exactly right. But it's because we want to. I understand that. But the reason you want to is because they claim you. Praise God, my wife claims me. Even after a sermon. Praise God, my kids claim me. See, when someone quits claiming you, you probably aren't buying them a gift. Does that make sense? They claim me. Praise God they do. And if I give a gift to feed the hungry or to clothe the naked or to care the homeless, I mean, I do it because deep inside I recognize that I have a debt to humanity and a feeling of obligation to them. Why? Because Jesus came into my heart and life and I know what the Bible says about it. That the Bible has a claim on my life. Jesus claimed me. You say, well, I don't know if he claims me. Then you need to get saved. Because when you are saved, Jesus says, I know you. I know you. And when you go after this life is over and you meet God face to face, you're going to want Jesus to step in and say, he's mine. She's mine. I have a claim on it. See, what we do is we lose this understanding, but the grace that Jesus gave us allows him to have a claim on my life, and I'm glad. And I give because they have a claim. I just want you to get this point. God's gift is so special because he doesn't owe us anything, yet he claims us. He don't owe me nothing, and he claims me. He loves me with a love that's indescribable, and we give him no reason to love us most of the time. Well, I worshiped him this morning. Well, what about tomorrow morning when the kids aren't in the car when you told them to be? See, with all this in mind, Paul says something remarkable in the 5th chapter of Romans. He says, while we were yet in our sin, while we were yet enemies of God, Christ died on the cross for us. Not because he had to, but he chose to, even for a people who can be so ungrateful. And lastly, number 4, he's indescribable because of the effect he has on us that we can't deny. He has an effect on us. Praise God he has an effect on us. Come on, praise God. We live in a country that when we go shop, when we go and hire a roofer, when we go hire a person to build a house, when we go to hire someone to work cement, when we go hire someone to work on our computers, to come into our home and work on our appliance that isn't working, when we hire someone, we are praying that we get someone who is honest and not going to gyp us. I know that the mark of Christianity should be, part of that should be honesty. So I'm wanting to hire someone who says that Jesus has a claim on them and has made an effect on them. See, Jesus is indescribable because I know no one that makes the effect on how people live their lives like Jesus does. Let me go back to the basketball game. I didn't see a punch thrown. Why? Because, praise God, Jesus had enough effect on some young men's lives that they didn't. You box someone out and they throw you 30 foot across the floor, Come on, because you're getting a basketball and you hit them right in the side and they can't grab their breath. You better know Jesus or hope that person does. Because they want to get up and box you out, not even getting a ball. See, there has to come a point in our lives where Jesus, the reason he's indescribable is because the effect he has don't make any sense. How can you operate like that knowing what you're going through? Because Jesus had an effect on me. He's indescribable. I don't know why I did that, but I prayed and that's what the Holy Spirit led me to do. And at Christmas, we ought to be falling on our knees and thanking God for his indescribable gift. Here's what I like. I like the word Merry Christmas. Let me just explain this real quick. Merry is an old English word for mighty. Merry, mighty. Merry, mighty. So Merry Christmas. Let's just change that one to mighty. Christ, the first part of Christmas, means the anointed one, Christ, the anointed one. And then the must part, the M-A-S, is short for mass, which means encounter. So may you all have a mighty encounter with the anointed one. Every time someone says Merry Christmas, may you have a mighty encounter with the anointed one. I want to end with a story that I found that someone was talking about a birthday party, because ultimately, that's what we're celebrating. It goes as this. As you well know, we're getting closer to my birthday. Every year, there's a celebration in my honor, and I think that this year, the celebration will be repeated. During this time, there are many people shopping for gifts. There are many radio announcements, TV commercials, and Hallmark movies. In every part of the world, everyone is saying that my birthday is getting closer and closer. It is really very nice to know that at least once a year some people think of me. As you know, the celebration of my birthday began many years ago. At first, people seemed to understand and be thankful for all that I did for them. But in these times, no one seems to know the reason for the celebration. Family and friends get together and have a lot of fun, but they don't know the meaning of the celebration. I remember that last year there was a great feast in my honor. The dinner table was full of delicious foods, pastries, fruits, assorted nuts, and chocolates. The decorations were exquisite, and there were many, many beautifully wrapped gifts. But do you want to know something? I wasn't invited. I was the guest of honor, and they didn't remember to send me an invitation. The party was for me, but when that great day came, I was left outside. They closed the door in my face. And I wanted to be with them and share their table. In truth, that didn't surprise me because in the last few years, a lot of closed doors have been given to me. Since I was not invited, I decided to enter the party without making any noise. I went in and stood in the corner. They're all drinking. There were some who were actually drunk and telling jokes and laughing at everything. They were having a great time. And to top it all, this big fat man all dressed in red wearing a long white beard entered the room yelling, ho, ho, ho. He seemed a little different. He sat on the sofa and all the children ran to him saying, Santa Claus, Santa Claus, as if the party were in his honor. At 12 midnight, all the people began to hug each other. I extended my arms waiting for someone to hug me. And do you know, no one hugged me. Suddenly, they all began to share gifts. They opened them one by one with great expectation. When all had been opened, I looked to see if maybe there was one for me. What would you feel if on your birthday, everybody shared gifts and you didn't get one? I then understood that I was unwanted at that party and quietly left. Every year it gets worse. People only remember to eat and drink, the gifts, the parties, and nobody remembers me. I would like this Christmas that you allow me to enter your life. I would like that you recognize the fact that almost 2,000 years ago, I came to this world to give my life for you on the cross to save you. Today, I only want that you believe this with all your heart. I want to share something with you. As many don't invite me to their party, I will have my own celebration, a grandiose party that no one has ever imagined, a spectacular party. I'm still making the final arrangements. Today, I'm sending out many invitations, and there's an invitation for you. I want to know if you wish to attend, and I'll make a reservation for you and write your name with golden letters in my great guest book. Only those on the guest list will be invited to the party. Those who don't answer the invitation will be left outside. Do you know how you can answer this invitation? You simply have to invite me into your heart and life. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. I'll be waiting for all of you to attend my party. Please don't wait any longer to accept my invitation. See you soon. I love you, Jesus. Bow your heads with me, please. Today, if you don't know Jesus, the Bible says that if you will confess me before man, I'll confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. And you, my friend, today have been invited to a party. Romans 10:9 says, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you will be saved. And that's what happened. Jesus came. He lived a great sinless life that no one else could, paid the debt that we owed, died, and rose again so that we can overcome eternal death as he overcame death. If you need to do that this morning, you simply just confess with your mouth that he is Lord and believe that he did what he said he did. If you've not done that, I'll be here after service. I'll be down at the front. Come up and say, Pastor, I need to be saved, and I'd be thrilled to lead you in a prayer of salvation.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.